Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lerzel.
It's Stephanie Domingo.
We come to you from two different places today.
I come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Yes.
On the land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Sorry, I just jumped in there.
No, those are all correct statements that you said. And I come to you from Detroit, Michigan, on land belonging to the Ojibwe, Ottawa, Potawatomi, and Wyandot nations. These are all nations that are still very much out here doing their own thing, and we would like to acknowledge that.
Yes.
So this is the show, for those of you who don't know, Beyond Reproach is the show where it's a show about scandals and scandalousness in American politics and government, but today this is a mini-sode, so we're going to talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Can't
try and stop us. Yeah, exactly. So we be drinking, we be swearing, and we be talking about whatever.
Yeah, we're doing it. So I have a topic today that is a bit of a bummer, but this is the world that we live in right now. This is one of the omni crises that we're dealing with currently.
A topic that's a bummer is really off brand for us.
I know, right? I know that it's weird that I feel like I need to give this caveat, like I don't know, like our listeners don't know who we are and what we're about. So with the leaking of Justice Alito's abortion opinion draft, Supreme Court has basically voted or is saying that they are going to strike down the landmark Roe versus Wade decision, the decision that guarantees a constitutional right to abortion.
It's so scary, especially the way that the opinion was drafted is basically saying the way they're stripping this right is taking away the right to privacy, which gives them a green light to strip us of any number of rights, including gay marriage and contraception, all sorts of fun things, interracial marriage. Yeah, it could all go away in a heartbeat, in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and there's, like, it's not this specifically has happened before, but, like, rights have been rescinded.
Yeah.
Like, that is a part of American history, a part that we don't really like to talk about. But, yeah, it is really scary. We don't know what the final decision will be, but we do think it's going to mirror the leaked draft. Maybe it's not going to make it's not going to make abortion completely legal, but it's going to make it, in practice, illegal, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And 13 states already have trigger laws in place for when the ruling is given down that's going to be effective immediately, making abortion illegal or basically illegal in these states. So it's all really scary, but I don't want to talk about any of these downstream consequences, some of which have already happened. Alabama, I'm looking at you.
Michigan has, I think, before Roe v. Wade went into place, Michigan had one of the harshest anti-abortion laws in the country, and it's still on the books, but it was just negated by Roe v. Wade. So they haven't redrafted anything new. Governor Whitmer is talking about trying to, like, guarantee that, you know, people will still have access to abortion, but officially nothing has been changed yet.
Okay.
And I don't know if they'll be able to make that happen quickly enough, especially because there's a large conservative population in Michigan outside of Detroit. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah. So I didn't really want to talk about these things yet. I think it's
best.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
No, I do at some point want to come back to it, but I think it's important to start with the foundation. So I want to give, like, this mini, I'm just going to be giving a very abbreviated history of abortion in the United States, because we can't really see where we're going without knowing where we've been.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Where we've been is kind of dark. However, it is worth noting that abortion has been legal for much of the country's history. Like, did you know that? Yeah. Abortion was frequently practiced in North America during the 1600s through the 1900s. And long before the first, you know, white colonizer came here, indigenous societies had been practicing abortive remedies for millennia. They knew which herbs to mix if someone didn't want to be pregnant, or to even prevent pregnancies from taking place in the first place. there was like a route that you could take that would force your period. And this was common knowledge. This was knowledge that was ancestral and passed down throughout the generations. So abortion wasn't made illegal in the U.S. until the mid-1800s.
Okay.
Yeah. So up until that point, it was a pretty accepted common part of women's health.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Common law allowed abortion to take place prior to the quickening. Do you?
No, I don't know what that is.
The quickening. Okay. So it's this really like dated term for when the fetus starts to like move around.
Okay. And, like, okay.
Kick your internal organs a bit. You were allowed to have an abortion prior to that, and that's around 4 months.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So it was so destigmatized that there were newspaper articles and you could buy different, there were advertisements for different herbs and like best medicines to take for a woman who didn't want to carry a pregnancy. Like this was in the paper.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Because at this time, surgical practices were really rare.
Mm-hmm.
The only time a doctor got involved was if there was like something horribly wrong with the pregnancy.
Okay.
So if you're scratching your head, like, wait a second, women were in control of their bodies and their reproduction back then. Like, how?
Yeah.
The answer is women. That's how.
Okay, yeah.
Other women. So reproductive care in the early part of this country's history was almost exclusively provided by women.
Okay.
Yeah. Women who were midwives, nurses, and other just like unlicensed women health care providers. Half of these women, well, actually more than half of these women were women of color. Half of them were black.
Mm-hmm.
Most of whom were enslaved, but there were also some indigenous women and some white women as well.
Okay.
So these ladies were not only trusted by their patients, they were really skilled at providing reproductive care. Like they actually listened to women.
What? Why?
I know.
Why would you do that?
So this would all change with the Civil War.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Sadly, like everything that is kind of wrong with our country, the issue is white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And to see this, you only have to look at the first group of women in the country who were not allowed to have abortions.
Mm.
Black women.
Yes.
The great American tradition of disregarding the just humanity of black people is part of a practice that's more than 400 years old. And it's so deeply baked into all of the systems here. So although abortion was legal, as I was talking about, legal throughout the century until after the Civil War, there were different rules for enslaved black women than for white women.
Okay.
Enslaved black women were property, very, very valuable property that could multiply.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they didn't have the freedom to control their bodies. Under the law, white men owned them,
mm-hmm.
owned their bodies, and could do with them as they saw fit. There are stories of enslaved women who had been raped, who had access to herbs that could induce menstruation. There are reports of women having abortion in secret. But if you were found with these herbs, the punishment was very severe and sometimes included death.
Okay, yeah.
So when slavery was abolished in 1865, the societal control over black women's bodies remained.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really remains today. Our culture judges black women for both having too many kids or having an abortion.
Yeah.
They are to blame for virtually any decision that they make and any sort of agency they try to take with their bodies. They're also blamed for the crimes of their offspring.
Yeah.
Which never happens for white women. Like, there aren't these panels of white mothers talking about, oh, Chad went to school and shot all his little friends. There's never any sort of thing that happens with white mothers. It's the the hypocrisy of white supremacy, just, you know, warping the narrative. So prior to the Civil War, white men were not involved in women's business. You remember that TikTok I sent you? There's this TikTok, this black woman creator. She's talking to someone who's harassing her, a man. And she's just like, why are you in women's business? Like, you have men's TikTok, you have female hating TikTok, you have ESPN, you have a job, and yet you're over here. It's like a diagram, like a big circle that says women's business, and there's a dot that says you. I'm going to put in the show notes. It's really, really funny. Why are you here?
Yeah.
So yeah, prior to the Civil War, men weren't in the business of any sort of OBGYN practices as we know them today, unless something went horribly wrong. Okay. However, around the time of the Civil War, a coalition of male doctors, together with the Catholic Church, which is like, really? Okay. You're going to be involved with something that has to do with children? Okay, cool. So they led a movement that pushed individual states to outlaw abortion. They wanted it to be illegal across the board. So this male-dominated medical profession / coalition with clergy, they wanted to take authority for the control of women's bodies away from women.
Sure.
It's like, these midwives, these nurses, like, they don't know.
They're, it's just paganism.
Yeah, they're witches.
Yeah.
They wanted that control, and they would get it, unfortunately. So by 1910, abortion was not only restricted, but it was illegal at every stage in the pregnancy in every state in the country.
In what year again?
1910.
Okay.
Yeah. So this abortion ban had some exceptions, some caveats based on the state. Like, if there was a issue of maternal death, like if a woman couldn't safely have the child, there, it was kind of up to the doctor to decide, like, if she could get an abortion or not.
Okay.
But these decisions were up to men. 90%, 95% of the doctors in the country in 1910 were men. So they were the ones with this power. So why 1910? Like, why was that the year, do you think, that they really cracked down on abortion?
That, like, I have no idea.
I think now is time for a little break-see.
Okay. Yeah. We'll come back with the answer to that 1910 question.
Yes.
In but a moment.
Well, hello there. Do you wish your high school history course had more drinking, more swearing, and more ladies?
Well, do we have the show for you. Her Story on the Rocks is a long-form podcast talking about good women, bad women, fictional women, and non-fictional women from all times and places.
Basically, each week we pair two women who we research with a themed signature cocktail.
You won't be sorry you listened to our latest episode.
Available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cheers.
Okay, we're back. I have a tasty bev in hand.
I do not. It's not right, but it's okay.
There we go. Yeah.
I was out last night, so I'm suffering the consequences. I was out somewhere with an open bar. I didn't drink like 20-year-old Stephanie, but I did too much. prior to dinner, I did too much. And I woke up like, what have I done?
I have to say that I'm jealous, even though I'm not jealous of you.
You're not jealous
in this moment, but I'm jealous of you yesterday.
Yeah, it was a fun event. I got to go to the Parsons like benefit. They raised, I think, $3 million just in like people donating that like night. Yeah, they auctioned off a whole bunch of things, like a trip to Italy.
Oh, wow.
Went for, I think, $25,000. I'm just like, wow, people have $25,000 to give away to charity. But you get it all back in tax breaks.
Sure,
but, like,
yeah.
Still.
Philanthropy, etc.
Yeah. It all went to scholarships for students in need. So that's
amazing.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, where was I? So yeah, and I asked you what was going on in and around 1910 that has people, white men in power, wanting to restrict the reproductive freedom of women.
That's, I don't, I'm 1910.
A lot had happened in the 1800s, things that we've talked about on the podcast.
Sure, yeah. I can't think of a specific event or yeah. thing. So I'm going to let you tell me.
Yeah. So it's not a specific thing. It's just like waves and waves of immigration had happened prior to this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had people from Asia coming in. We had, you know, we had stolen a bunch of land from Mexico. So we have those people who are coming and having babies in this great nation of ours. So the white men in power, they were terrified about losing control over their country.
Yes.
So they supported abortion bans as a way to get upper class white women to have more.
Yes. That's actually part of the reason we're going back to that.
Oh, that, yes. This is the census all over again. Yes. Yeah.
That we're like the and people are, you know, people who didn't know anyone was listening have said, like, we have to ban abortion so white women start having more children.
Yes. But it's like, you've done this before and it's failed. So, yeah. Because the joke is on them. White, rich white women aren't going to have babies. They're always going to have the means to get an abortion. And that's what they did. Like, there were women who were flying to Europe, flying to Canada to get abortions. Like, they still didn't want more kids.
Right now, I don't necessarily think that the people in power care about rich white women having more children. I think they care more about poor white women having more children and basically making more Amazon employees and Walmart employees that are white. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, it is changed from then. Yeah.
Yeah. They want the numbers of white people, but they want also the numbers. Yeah. But they also at the same time want more cogs in the system.
Yeah. At this point in time, they were looking out and seeing that they were being out, like, I don't know, Sarah would say, like, outbred. They were being they saw all these poor people, these immigrants coming here and establishing families. And they're just like, no, we want a certain type of person to have a baby. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make sure that this person can't end a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the joke was on them because it wasn't happening. So skipping to the 1930s, this is when there's a real crackdown about abortion. Like, abortion has gone underground. And as a result, there was a huge death toll because of it. Because women are always going to get abortions. It's just, are they going to get safe ones or not?
Yeah.
And in the 1930s, almost 1 in 5 recorded maternal deaths was that of someone trying to get an abortion.
That, I mean, that's not shocking. It's horrific, but it's not shocking.
It's just like you wanted women to have kids so bad, but they're dying.
Yeah.
It's counterproductive. So skipping ahead to the 1950s, in the late 1950s and early 60s, thousands of pregnant women took a drug called thalidomide.
Yes.
Do you know about thalidomide?
Flipper babies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a medication that was meant to ease, like, pregnancy symptoms like morning sickness. It was highly promoted by doctors. They didn't know that it would cause severe birth defects. Like, it took them a few years to figure that out. So in 1962, there was a really high profile pregnant TV host named Sherry Chesin who had taken thalidomide, and she had, as a result, wanted to end her pregnancy. She wanted to get an exemption. She wanted to go within the law and get an exemption to be able to get an abortion in this country, but she wasn't able to. She was denied, court after court denied her, and she ended up flying to Sweden because she was a wealthy white woman who had the means to fly to Sweden. And there was a whole bunch of press around her plight. And they did a poll at the time, and 52% of Americans, including 33% of Catholics, supported her right to get an abortion.
Well, I'm actually surprised it wasn't more than 52%.
Really?
It's if the number of Catholics that supported it was...
I know, 33%, but yeah. But they're pulling men, too, and men are trash.
that's also true, yes, okay.
I think if they were pulling just women, it would be... The numbers would be much higher. But yeah, the fallout from thalidomide, it really gave a lot of... it made more and more people supportive of abortion being legalized, safe abortions.
It's because especially back then, people didn't really care about people with disabilities or autonomy for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I kind of feel like it's surprising that it wasn't higher.
Oh, I see.
Because people were like, oh, well, their child would be disabled and have a birth defect. So of course they should be able to get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, that's true. So the 1960s, it kind of just gave rise to the modern abortion law reform. Like, there was a lot of different states that were pushing for it to be fully legal, not just for these, you know, these bans on different weeks. They're like, we need, in the interests of public health and safety of all women, we just need it to be legal.
Yes.
So 11 states started to loosen their abortion laws in the late 60s. And in 1973, the Supreme Court case, as we all are familiar with, Roe versus Wade, it made it legal nationwide for all women or people with uteruses to be able to get an abortion. That was a constitutional right.
Yeah.
However, even with this law going into place, due to systemic racism, laws restricting access to abortion continue to target the usual suspects, BIPOC folks, the LGBTQ peoples. So one really good example is the Hyde Amendment. Have you heard of the Hyde Amendment?
It sounds familiar, but I can't recall what it is.
Yeah.
It does sound familiar, though.
Yeah, it is something that is talked about a lot, especially with this leaked opinion. So it makes it illegal for people on Medicaid to use their insurance, you know, their government-sponsored insurance, to seek out an abortion. Like, this was a caveat that was pushed by right-wing operatives, again, the usual suspects. It bars federal dollars from being used to cover this medically necessary process many times for women. And this is done because of, you know, because of racism, because of bias, because Medicaid, it disproportionately serves Black, Latinx, and LGBTQ plus people.
Yeah.
So it has particularly restricted their freedoms to body autonomy. And it is trash, because this is a group of people that already face such hardships, already have barriers to care, to access, to economic opportunity. Now they're less likely to have jobs that offer employer-sponsored health insurance, which is garbage, by the way.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
As a result, they're more likely to rely on Medicare.
Yeah.
Medicaid, or pay out of pocket, God forbid. So this law went into place right after Roe. So there hasn't always been access for I know, you're just shaking your head.
It's such trash.
However, I do have really good news. Thanks to advocacy from a lot of different reproductive justice organizations, ACLU, Planned Parenthood, last year, the Biden administration, they were the first administration in history, in decades, since Obama, in decades, to exclude the Hyde Amendment from its presidential budget.
Oh, okay.
However, that is all that the Biden-Harris administration has done on this matter at all.
Yeah.
Which is really disappointing, to say the least. So I'm going to leave this conversation here, just because, I mean, I had to cut a lot out for time. I left out all of the ERA. I left out Reagan and much, much more, because it's just, I need to do this in stages because there's just a lot. But if you're curious at all to learn more, I'm going to put all of the information in the show notes.
Yeah.
I definitely found more than a few scandals that I can't wait to share in like full form on a full episode, because yeah, there's just a lot of mess surrounding reproductive freedoms in this country historically. Just
totally.
Really hate women.
I just feel like there are so many topics related to this that
Absolutely.
We need to try to explore, to try to find a way to explore, especially the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. It's such a big topic. And I know we've talked about, not on the show maybe, but in private, we have talked about wanting to find a way to tackle this at some point. But it's such a big topic, and it spans so many decades of like attempting to get this passed and failing over and over and over again. If anyone has not seen, there was a show, I think it was on FX, but don't quote me on this.
It was on FX.
Yeah, there was a show called Mrs. America, mm-hmm. About sort of the battle against the Equal Rights Amendment and why, like the conservative white women in the suburbs with money trying to like fight against the Equal Rights Amendment, and basically as a fight against feminism. Mm-hmm. This is a really good show if anyone's interested in it, but it's like such a specific era of the fight for the ERA, which was spanned many more decades.
Yeah, it started with suffrage. Like as soon as women got like basic rights, they were asking for full rights, you know. We want it all. And it's just, it's such a shame that we still haven't, I think, I don't know the count of states that have ratified the ERA, but
we just need to get to 25
more than 26 or yeah, yeah, more than half.
I think we're at like 23 or something like that. Okay. But then we just stopped trying after like the 70s or 80s or something.
It is a really important topic, and we do need to find a way to do it. I just don't know how.
Yeah, it's too big to even just split up into two. Like if I talked about it and you talked about it in the same month, it's still too big for that.
Yeah.
We'll find a way. But anyways, thank you for giving that background, because I did not know really any of that. I had no idea that, I had no idea the timeline. I didn't know that it was legal before a certain point, before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that the whole thalidomide thing played such a big part in getting, you know, public gathering support for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. I had no idea. So thank you for talking about that. The story that I will be telling next month has almost nothing to do with abortion at all, but it does actually come up a little bit. It's all background, you know what I mean?
Into the
topic that I'll be talking about. Yeah. So I will be bringing up a very specific moment in history that surrounds the fight against abortion.
I averted my eyes from all of the 80s because I know that you were going to talk about this next.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted this to be a mini episode and not a long episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Too late. Sorry.
I know, right? Sorry, Tim. All right. Yeah. Bye, guys.
No. So my drink is empty. I was just chewing on the ice cubes, trying really hard to chew away from the mic. Hopefully no one heard that.
No, it's fine.
So thanks so much for listening to Beyond Reproach, the mini-sode. This has been, or the medium-sode.
It's mini-ish.
Mini-ish. The mini-ish-sode. So this has been...
the mini-ish-sode.
This has been Tux Lurzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
Thank you so much to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather, who does his best to put up with us and our malarkey.
Our bullshit.
Yes.
Let's be real.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note that we are not historians. We're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. And remember that written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves, and we have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.